From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for May 13th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two. Our goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. And via the checks and balances, we can indeed restore our country. But y'all got to get involved for that to happen. All right, last hour I teased the topic. We'll drill in now. GOP wants the Democrats investigated over the January 6th Capitol reconnaissance claims. They claim that Republicans literally participated in the insurrection by leading groups of insurrectionists through the Capitol on reconnaissance missions ahead of time to kind of case the joint before it all went down. The Republicans are saying that's a lie, and we want to have accountability. I believe that this lie will be discredited, not because I trust the Democrats or the media, but because I think they'll be forced to admit the truth. Now, let me give you an example. I didn't think that Ammon Bundy was going to go free. I mean, I knew he was innocent, right? But I didn't believe that he would really go free. And the reason that I didn't is because I just don't trust the courts. I just don't trust the system. I just don't trust the media. They're all criminals and dishonest. But what happened is, I agree with Kurt Crosby last hour when Kurt said, hey, because God was on Ammon's side. I think there's truth to that without a doubt. However, I do believe that there were some whistleblowers that really called a halt to the con game. Okay, so it was whistleblowers that said, look, Ammon Bundy did nothing wrong. The government's lying when they claim they weren't pointing sniper rifles at innocent, unarmed citizens. The government said they weren't, but the whistleblower proved they were, and they knew they were. And they got caught lying. All right, so I believe whistleblowers, 9 times out of 10, are the key to the exercise. You know, we've always heard, when good men do nothing, evil prospereth, right? Well, I believe there will be whistleblowers in this who will call a halt to the con game, and I think I have enough evidence to prove it. Here it is. Ready? Christopher Miller. Do you know who he is? He's a former Pentagon official.
I'm not aware of him. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Here's what Christopher Miller says. I have reassessed. Former Pentagon official now says Trump may not have incited the riot. It seems clear that there was an organized assault element in place that was going to assault regardless of what Trump did or said. The former president did fulfill his constitutional duties in conjunction with the Capitol event. Yeah. All right. There you have it. Politico has the story. And it's a whistleblower that's now changed his testimony. So here's what happened. He said what he said, but after he realized he was going to have to testify under oath to the claims made, he recanted. He said, whoa, I'm not going down in testimony, articulating the false narrative. And so here's what happens. He's being drilled by a congressperson. And the exchange is recorded, and we can hear it. Let's listen to it, and then we'll talk about it. Cameron?
But for President Trump's speech, do you think anyone would have marched on the Capitol and tried to overrun the Capitol without the president's remarks? I know you've answered this question several times, but I'd like you to answer it for the committee.
I think I'd like to modify my original assessment.
Why am I not surprised about that?
Based on, as Chief Conte said, we are getting more information by the day, by the minute, about what happened. And to highlight some other observations that were made, it's clear now that there were organized, although we're going to find out through the Department of Justice process and the law, the legal system, it seems clear that there was some sort of conspiracy where there were organized assault elements that intended to assault the Capitol that day.
So reclaiming my time, I'm just asking you the same question you've answered before. Did the president's remarks incite members to march on the people in the crowd to march on the Capitol, or did they not?
Well, he clearly offered that they should march on the Capitol. So it goes without saying that his statement resulted in
okay,
that.
I'm reclaiming my time. Let me just share what the committee, what you have said before. This is your quote. Would anybody have marched on the Capitol and tried to overrun the Capitol without the president's speech? I think it's pretty much definitive that would not have happened.
I think that was not a unitary factor at all.
What's that?
I would like to offer, I have reassessed, it's not the unitary factor at all. It seems clear there was an organized conspiracy with assault elements in place.
In your written testimony for today, reclaiming my time again, for your written testimony for today, this morning, you stated the following about the president's quote. I personally believe his comments encouraged the protesters that day.
That was this morning.
So this is a very recent reversal of your testimony.
Absolutely not. That's ridiculous.
You're ridiculous.
Thank you for your thoughts. I also want to highlight.
Wait a minute. Reclaiming my time. You also said, and I quote, the question is, did he know he was enraging the people? That's a different matter. And I understand your reluctance to try to portray what was in the president's mind. But in multiple occasions, your testimony, both written and oral, you said, and again, without the president's speech, people would not have marched on the Capitol and tried to overrun the Capitol. And that you wrote, this morning, I personally believe his comments encouraged the president that day. So you understand how not believable your new testimony, your new version of testimony that was apparently created between the time you wrote your testimony this morning and when you came before the committee today.
There's a difference between marching on the Capitol and assaulting the Capitol. There's a difference between marching on the Capitol and assaulting the Capitol. That's the delineation I'm trying to make, despite the partisan attack that I just was subjected to.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Look, this guy's basically saying, hey, in light of more information coming to the table, I am now convinced that there was a conspiracy of people who were going to attack the Capitol no matter what. That was their agenda. They were going forward with it no matter what the president said or did. All right? And he's basically saying, I changed my testimony in light of that. Now, the congressperson basically says, you know, you wrote your testimony this morning. He didn't write his testimony that morning. By the way, that's a lie, too. You write your testimony and you submit it in advance. Now he's coming up and saying, look, I have more information now that I did not have before. I'm telling you there was a conspiracy, and really Trump didn't have much to do with it. And this is what I've been telling you since January the 6th or 7th when we came on the air. Trump did not do this. Trump did not say this. There were agent provocateurs who were going to pull this off no matter what. And you have this in his congressional testimony basically stating that's the facts. Now, the congressman doesn't like it because he's saying, I want to prove that you're not credible because you changed your testimony. But I think it actually makes him more credible to have the guts to take this guy on. It was a partisan attack. Why does he keep claiming his time and not letting him respond? Because he doesn't like the way that the response is going. If he were to say, yes, Trump did this, he'd let him talk all day. So the dishonest narrative is being exposed. This is a whistleblower now. Because this guy has inside knowledge. Christopher Miller says, hey, I have reassessed. Trump may not have incited the riot. It seems clear there was an organized conspiracy and assault element in place that was going to assault regardless of what the president said. The former president fulfilled his constitutional duties in connection with the storming of the Capitol. There you have it, Kurt. And I believe that whistleblowers are going to call a halt to this dishonest narrative going on here. And it directly relates, because if you say President Trump did this, and now you pretty much show that he did not, and evidence shows that he didn't, now you're going to have to come back and say, well, the reconnaissance part was a lie, too. Because you don't have any evidence that Republicans were literally leading people on reconnaissance missions as part of the insurrection ahead of January 6th. You got to be able to prove that. And what this, in my opinion, Mr. Miller is doing is saying, hey, you know what? I thought this, so I said that. But you know what? Now I'm reassessing. I've got more information and more evidence, and more evidence will come out. And if we can get two or three or four more whistleblowers to start to lay down the real narrative on this thing, their lies are done, Kurt. That's the prayer, that's the hope, and that seems to be the reality check now. But I said this from the very start. So there you have it, buddy. Your thoughts?
Well, I think you've covered it very well, Sam. And as you said it from the start. I mean, that's why I recommend folks listen to you what you have to say, you know, Sam.
Now, let me tell you why I said it at the very start, though. I don't want you to think that I think I'm all-knowing or that I have all the answers. But remember, Kurt, right when this happened, we had personal friends that were literally there at the Capitol who brought their testimony on the radio that next day. Let's talk about that a little bit, because it's not like Sam knows everything. But it is, I trust the people that report live from the scene more than the press. That's why. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and we'll end up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts. And I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So the narrative for the mainstream press has been debunked so many times now, it's not even funny. They lied and said insurrectionists beat up a police officer, literally killed him. He got beat up with a fire extinguisher and died. They used that in the testimony to impeach Trump in the House. That turned out to be a flat-out, bogus, complete lie. They said that all Trump supporters were the rioters. Now it turns out that all kinds of people with all kinds of strange agendas were the ones that were insurrectionists. Then they claimed, well, it was an assault, it was intentional, and then that Congress participated. Now that's being challenged, and Republicans are saying, let's investigate and get to the bottom of that lie. And now you have a man, Christopher Miller, and another man was with him. They both said that they used to think that Trump caused it, but now they're realizing there was a cabal, a conspiracy in place that was set to do this no matter what the president said. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. More and more and more evidence coming out. Now, it's not that Sam Bushman knew from the very start personally. It's not that I know everything. But remember, we had on multiple witnesses that were live at the Capitol. Larvita McFarklar was one of them. And she literally is black, so she, you know, sees both sides from that regard. But she went there and she said, look, there were insurrectionists, but we saw them, and I'm telling you, they were with Antifa. They were with Black Lives Matter. Then Victoria was there and testified on the radio that she literally got pushed into the Capitol. She didn't want to go in, per se, but she got, you know, pushed by the crowd in, and then she got arrested, and then she got taken, and she told us how she got taken through the back door and back quarters and back steps, and then she got let go. And later the FBI contacted her to see who she knew or whatever else, but she was guilty of nothing. And then we had Steve, who testified on the radio, who was there at the Capitol as well. So we had three literal live witnesses on scene saying, it isn't as you were told, I'm telling you now. And that it was a peaceful Trump rally. Most people went home. Some people went to the Capitol. Most people were outside the Capitol and they were praying milling around and being kind and appropriate and everything. And that only a few went into the Capitol, and that there were people there that they even tried to stop who were trying to commit acts of violence and everything else. And so when I heard from all those testimonies personally, look, Victoria, Steve, Larvita, these three have no reason to lie to me on the radio. They were just there and they reported what they saw and heard and did. And when I saw that, and then I saw the mainstream press literally saying, hey, you know what? All these people are beating up the cops and it's crazy. But then I start to see, you know what? Cops were involved. And then I start to see, the only person that got killed or shot was the government shooting. What do they call those when you were in the military?
You're a veteran.
Yeah, a veteran. I'm sorry. I don't know why the word slipped my mind. When the cops shot a veteran, a female veteran. Now, I'm not saying the female veteran should have been going in through the window. I don't know her reasoning because she's dead and we'll probably never find out. But I know this. Why is the only person that literally is dead related to this? Why is it that the government killed somebody else? It reminds me of Lavoie Finicum and the Ammon Bundy situation. The only person dead is a victim, and the government, again, did the aggression and was involved in the violence. Okay, and when you start to see all that narrative, you go, something's not right here. And then when they literally use that to then not have real accountability. The reason that everybody was at the Capitol that day, remember what the reason was. It wasn't to create an insurrection like you're told. The reason they were there is because they wanted to encourage Congress to open up an investigation into vote fraud. Well, now they never did that. What happened is in the dead of night, they pass and move forward and ignore it. But how come we never got to the real discussion and the real vote and the real about the vote fraud? You can say, well, Sam, they took the votes. Yeah, they took the votes in the dead of night in a panic situation. Like, oh my gosh, we just about got crushed by insurrectionists. Our lives were in danger. We're going to stop this now. Trump, go away. Scram. Okay, but when you look at that, why are we taking these votes late at night like this? Why the rush? Why not just hold off for a few days, let the dust settle, and then whenever you do things in a marched fashion, meaning you push it through, by golly, we're getting it done tonight. I don't care if it's 2 a.m. stuff. That's what got us the dishonest Federal Reserve, ladies and gentlemen, at Christmas time stuff. That's what. And so you start to see this pattern. All the witnesses that I have tells me that there were provocateurs there. The government, the media double down and say, oh, everybody was evil and this is all Trump. But then they literally rigged the election fraud. They shut down the real investigation. They pass it in the dead of night. And then they start making claims that start coming back false. Oh, man, everybody beat up this cop and killed him with a fire extinguisher. Oh, that wasn't true. Oh, this. Oh, that wasn't true. Oh, man, all the Republicans were leading reconnaissance missions. You're telling me that a congressman would literally lead a reconnaissance mission at the Capitol and not be worried they'd get caught? I mean, how stupid do you think everybody is? So when you get this whole narrative, Kurt, you start to say, I just don't buy it. I'm just not believing it. That's not what my witnesses say happened. And remember, I've got a witness that was outside. I got a witness that was pushed inside the Capitol, not wanting to go in, but was inside the Capitol, but not by choice. She was arrested. She was questioned. She was released. And she testified on my radio program with me and Kurt. And okay, why would this lady lie to us? Okay, now they claim that it was a massive insurrectionist. But do you realize they've only arrested probably about 400 people, and most of them have been let go? They only have literally 30 or 40 some odd trials even now, Kurt. And now we find out that it's a very unique group of people that were betrayed. So, for example, if you talk to Stuart Rhodes, who's with Oath Keepers, he's saying, we're going to let, you know, the truth come out. I don't really know what's going on yet, but I know this. Our group didn't do this. Maybe a few people that claim affiliation with us did. And maybe a few people that even were affiliated at a lower level did some of these things. But that wasn't our narrative. In fact, we have evidence showing that we are trying to work to keep the peace while this was happening. You begin to, now we've got a witness from Stuart Rhodes and his organization that claims they were kind of, well, whatever the narrative is, he doesn't want to proclaim innocent or guilt on an individual until the trial happens. But what he's basically saying is, hey, you know what? We weren't doing that. And so you look at that whole thing and you go, what's going on around here? But lies about the Capitol, ladies and gentlemen, seem to be legion. And the mainstream press seems to be backing them and then being forced to recant over and over. So I trust the people that report live on this radio program, Kurt, that I don't believe have an axe to grind or don't have a, they don't have a motive to lie. And I basically trusted those people and looked around and went, man, if the mainstream press and government is that, the Democrats, et cetera, are that dead set against the president and pushing this narrative, and anybody who questions the narrative is an enemy and part of it, then I realized, hey, something's wrong here. Anyway, any thoughts, Kurt?
Well, just imagine that the mainstream media gets it wrong again, and yet most people that heard those reports in the early days, Sam, will not hear the, what would you say, the correction, simply because, you know, it's kind of the old-fashioned way. They put the main headline, the false one, the misleading thing on the front page and tout it over and over and over and over. And when they find out, or when they're, you know, forced to explain that it was wrong what they said and it was untrue, then that will go back on page B60 or, you know, something like that. And that's just the situation normal Alfalfa program, right?
Yeah, so the mainstream press says what took place on January 6th was undoubtedly a politically motivated riot. It should not be controversial to regard it as a dangerous episode. See, that's the problem that I have with this. Is it gets to the situation where you've got false claims. Why would the media be lying? To summarize, the allegations by the mainstream press, our officer Brian Sicknick was murdered by pro-Trump rioters at the Capitol who hit him on the head with a fire extinguisher, after which he was rushed to the hospital and put on life support. That was their narrative, and it turned out to be a complete flat-out lie. Two, five people died at the hands of pro-Trump rioters. Three rioters went into the Capitol with intent of abducting members of Congress. Four, reports show that rioters carried zip ties, which they intended to handcuff those they planned to kidnap. Five, the Capitol riot was an armed insurrection. That's a lie. So Nick probably died of a stroke. Fire extinguisher was bogus. Wow. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We'll be right back. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Colonial Pipeline has returned to partial operations following a cyber attack that choked gas supplies for the eastern United States for days. In a statement, the pipeline operator said some markets served by Colonial Pipeline may experience or continue to experience intermittent service interruptions during the startup period. President Biden on Monday says he needs to talk with Russian President Putin before laying down blame.
I'm going to be meeting with President Putin, although there's evidence that the actor's ransomware is in Russia. They have some responsibility to deal with this.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine wants to pay Ohioans to get vaccinated. Starting next Wednesday, adults who have received at least one dose of the vaccine may enter a $1 million lottery every week for 5 weeks, paid for by federal stimulus money.
Those who are not vaccinated remain prey to this virus.
Kids under 18 have a chance to win a four-year scholarship. USA Radio News.
All right, is that a Q2 or Q3 expense?
Dwayne's CPA went MIA. To keep his books and his sanity, he needs to find a replacement ASAP.
Hey, Johnny, have you ever heard of a fungible good?
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world one life at a time.
You guys, your customer service and everything, you guys are great. And the commercials talk about it, but I don't know if it really gives it true justice. People need to know. This is maybe the most amazing product I've ever tried. It's so pure, it tastes so good. I'm just blown away by it.
Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
The suspected Times Square shooter over the weekend has been apprehended in Florida. Tim Berg reports.
The Times Square shooting suspect is in custody in Florida. NYPD Chief of Detectives James Essick explains 31-year-old Farrakhan Muhammad was arrested by U.S. Marshals in the northern part of the state.
In a McDonald's parking lot in Stark, Florida, just outside of Jacksonville, Mr. Muhammad was with a female who he believed to be his girlfriend, and he was taken into custody without incident.
Muhammad is accused of opening fire in Times Square last weekend. The shooting wounded two women and a four-year-old girl. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Farrakhan Muhammad tells WCJB in Gainesville, Florida, he doesn't even know what's going on.
I don't know. I still don't know nothing of nothing.
Christine Vergara, his girlfriend, was arrested with him. She lives in Jacksonville, Florida. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. So the lies from the mainstream press are really what's interesting to me. You got Brian Sitnick, who did not die from being beat up by protesters like they claim with a fire extinguisher. That was a lie. Three of the other four deaths were from natural causes. The only other person that died was Ashley Babbitt when she was unarmed and she was shot in the neck by a cop. So the police officer killed her, and she was unarmed. The other three deaths, believe it or not, were all Trump or pro-Trump protesters. Kevin Greenstein, who died of a heart attack outside of the Capitol, mind you. Benjamin Phillips, 50 years old, the founder of a pro-Trump website called Trumparoo, who died of a stroke that day. And Roseanne Boyland, a pro-Trump supporter, who was inadvertently killed in a crush of rioters who were trying to push through a police line. The zip tie man found them on the table and took them to prevent their use by the police. Prosecutors literally had to admit in court, ladies and gentlemen, that he did not take zip ties with him from home and he did not carry them into the Capitol. Yeah. There you have it. So the lies from the mainstream press are legion on this thing, ladies and gentlemen. Why? And sadly, several of those lies made it into the impeachment testimony. I think they need to overturn the impeachment of President Trump on these grounds of false testimony being literally inserted into the decision-making of these bureaucrats and professional do-gooders. All right, any final word on that one, Kurt?
Well, it's just, you know, I remember, you remember the story a while back when the New York Times said, hey, we're going to quit lying to you. You know, and as our buddy old Jerry Hughes would always tell us, nothing is official until it's been denied, and they're going to keep lying, I think, and they continue to lie so many times, and we find out so many times after the story's been told that, hey, the official line really wasn't true, don't we?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. But again, more and more evidence coming out, and I think whistleblowers are going to be very helpful in this as time goes on. Were there insurrectionists? Yes. Was there a group of people that wanted to create a false flag or kind of a terrorist incident and make this backfire and not to be involved so that they didn't have to really deal with the real vote on the election fraud? That's what I believe the case to be. Now, what we should have done is said, hey, this is a horrible event. We agree. But we should have taken a step back and had a real checking into the vote fraud discussion, too. When that got circumvented, it tells me personally, this is an opinion now to which I'm entitled, but when they didn't do the proper due diligence on the vote fraud discussion, which was the whole goal of everybody being there in the first place, when they circumvented that and passed it in the dead of night, that's what tells me that it was mission accomplished by the provocateurs. That is a fact that you cannot dissuade me from believing in, to where, hey, why didn't they just take a step back and pass it on its own merits? Why do they do it in a rush in the middle of the night under a panic scenario? That's never a wise move, right? All right, Planned Parenthood now admits that Margaret Sanger was a racist. Planned Parenthood finally has admitted and disavowed its founder, Margaret Sanger, for her horrific racist statements and agenda. Very interesting admission, Kurt.
Well, yeah, I mean, welcome to the party. We've been talking about that forever. And finally, they are going to, you know, admit it, you know. But do you think they're going to change their ways, Sam?
No, they're still just as murderous as they always were, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. That's the way I see
it. Right? I mean, it's sad, but I think that's the truth. They're not backing away from their murderous agendas. They're just saying, yeah, we have to admit she was a racist, because the facts, again, are out there. Whistleblowers have documented the facts to the point, Kurt, where you can't deny that she's flat out a racist.
Yep. Great point.
So anyway, I find that interesting. And I'm glad that we're getting more information on this. And I think more, the more we, the people, report on this, dig into this, focus on this, acknowledge this, the greater chance that we will start to have more truth. As more whistleblowers come, as good people stand up and shine the light of truth, evil is frustrated and righteousness prospers. Evil is vanquished. And that's exciting news. All right, Kurt, I don't know if you know, but a college journalist... white people use sidewalks in a racist way. Kenny Allen is the journalist that claims this. Kenny Allen is an opinion editor of Northwestern University's student newspaper. It's attacking white people for walking awkwardly on sidewalks and behaving in a racist manner on sidewalks. It's because of their internal racism, Kurt. That's what Campus Reform reported last week. Now, you probably don't even know how you're acting racist on sidewalks, do you, Kurt?
I remember reading that article thinking...
yeah, but you don't remember, you know, how.
I just don't understand. I mean, I'm sure, Kurt, that as I walk down the sidewalk, walking while white, probably is
that is correct.
Call it right, Sam.
Yes, it's so systemic. You can't even figure it out, can you? You're so inherently, innately at the core racist, where you don't even know what we're talking about, do you?
Good point. Yeah.
See how these people. See how these people just. I mean, it's just so dishonest that you can never recover from it if you buy the lie. But let me explain how you're racist. When you're standing there, Kurt, in the middle of the sidewalk talking to people, which you do all the time, right?
Well, of course. Yeah.
And you only talk to white people when you're standing in the middle of the sidewalk, too.
Well,
you got that?
I wouldn't talk to anybody else. I mean, just my kind.
Now, when Kurt's in the middle of the sidewalk and a white person comes, Kurt will probably move over and let him pass.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're part of the in guys.
But if they're black while walking, my friend, and you're white while walking, you will not move over. You'll make them step off the sidewalk into the dangerous street. Mm-hmm. And go around you, won't you, Kurt? Won't you?
Of course. I mean, you know, that's just what I've been trained to do stuff.
I don't mean to laugh at this, ladies and gentlemen, because if it were really true, then I do think it would be evil to say if it's a white person, I'm going to, you know, respect them and step aside. And if they're black, I'm going to just stand there and ignore them because they got to understand the pecking order here. Kind of a lie. But that's not true. When I walk down the sidewalk, Kurt, people are engaged in their conversation and they're distracted, and they rarely move for me either.
Wait a minute.
And I have to walk around them and step off the sidewalk and step back on it and stuff like that. Now, I don't think they hate me or anything. I mean, they might know that I'm blind, and they're probably doing that to blind people, but that's a side note. No, what I'm saying is people just get distracted and involved in their lives. I don't think it's a systemic racism discussion. I have never thought in my mind in my entire life while standing on the sidewalk, look up, oh, that's a white person coming. I better get out of the way. Look up, that's a black person. Hey, make them dump into the street, man. Rip those guys. I've never thought that in my entire life, ever. Have you, Kurt?
Oh,
be honest now.
Of course, Sam. In fact, I don't even know when I'm thinking it, because what happens is, you know, I mean, it's just...
You're just so systemic that you don't even realize.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I mean, it's just there. I mean, I can't even... I don't even know how racist I am. I mean, it's just...
Cameron, he's our producer. Yeah. Cameron, do you literally sit in the middle of the sidewalk talking to people, and when someone is starting to come and you look up and see them, if they're black, you just stay there and just say, go around, you lower pecking order person. Or if they're white, you just simply get out of the way. Is that what you do? He says, no way, dude. I've never heard of this in my entire life. I think the idea is insanely preposterous.
Sam, it's a
if I'm engaged
snafu.
In my conversation and unaware, I might not have moved for somebody. I'll admit to that because I'm human and I get busy doing what I'm doing and I don't realize sometimes, like I should, what's around me. I know that. People do that at doorways all the time, too. It's one of my big pet peeves. Why is everybody gathering around a doorway and blocking the doorway and standing there? They do that all the time, coming in and out of church.
They do
coming
it
in and out
purpose.
Of this or that building.
They do
right?
it just.
And they don't get out of the way because
well, they're
right.
woke,
they don't just scurry.
Sam, these are woke people. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, they're woke, and you're unwoke, you know, I mean, you're just not.
I'm just
there,
systemic sure. and yeah. nothing
That's
I can
right.
do about it there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in my opinion, it's insane. Now, here's the next story, Kurt. I don't know if you know who Caleb Kennedy is, but he's one of the singers on American Idol.
Oh, okay.
He's quite
that's
good.
That's a TV show, I think, isn't it?
Well, American Idol is a TV show. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, Caleb Kennedy is like a country singer on there. He's like 16 years old, and he's doing incredible. Well, he just got kicked off American Idol, Kurt. No longer
what
can compete.
Is he white?
Well, Probably. He's no longer in the running. Yes, he's white. He's Caleb no longer in the running to become the next American Idol. After a video surfaced online in which the contestant is seated next to somebody that looks like they're wearing a KKK.
Ooh.
Hood. We'll talk about it on your radio.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As
a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby on your radio. So Caleb Kennedy, one of the top five American Idol contestants, he leaves the show after they say he was caught in a video where he was sitting next to a guy wearing a KKK hood. So here's what's interesting. He wasn't wearing the hood. And they don't really know if it's a KKK hood or not. They just say it looks like one. So he says there are no excuses to use this type of language ever. I want to apologize, sincerely apologize for using the word. I don't know if he said the N-word or what. I guess it showed him sitting on alongside someone who appeared to be wearing a hood similar to one wearing or one worn by a member of a white supremacy group. But I don't like this. Okay. Now, I don't know all the details. He says, I want to say sorry. So he melts down and apologizes. Now, I don't think that he should have apologized. He was 12 years old, ladies and gentlemen, when this occurred. He's only 16 years old now, just so you know. And he was inspired by a movie that he saw. And I don't know what he was thinking. But it has the word bow written on screen. Or bow, B-O-W. Is that bow, Kurt?
Well, yeah. I mean, it could be bow. It could be, I mean, let's say you use that new spelling and the new pronunciation, Sam. I mean, that could be, well, almost anything. I mean, you know, 2 + 2 = 7. I don't know. It's just,
they call it a racially insensitive video.
Yeah. Well, now, did you see what his mom or his mom had to say about it?
Sure. Go ahead.
Well, his, and by the way, Caleb Kennedy, I'm thinking, now Caleb's with a C, but I mean, imagine if his name was with a K, and imagine if his middle name started with a K, he would be KKK, right? I mean,
ooh, whoa.
Ooh, then he'd
now
really
you're saying
be
his parents
trouble.
Are racist too. There, mean, what does mom
anyway,
have to say?
According to his Fox, the Fox News piece about it, his mother has spoken out about his departure. She said, quote, I hate that this has happened to and how Caleb is being portrayed by people online. She told MSN, this video was taken after Caleb had watched the movie The Strangers Pray at Night, P-R-E-Y, not P-R-A-Y, and they were imitating those characters. It had nothing to do with the Ku Klux Klan, but I know that's how it looks. Caleb doesn't have a racist bone in his body. He loves everyone and has friends of all races. End quote.
But let me tell you right now, his career is absolutely ruined. He's completely shut down, and now he's apologizing, Kurt.
Well, see, and she doesn't even understand how racist he is. I mean, he's a white guy, so then he's or racist.
Well, Sam, generationally, I mean, systemic, just, my friend.
Yeah, and that's how you know for sure that they are, right? I mean, it's just...
Yes,
it's
now let me nuts. Kind of explain further my opinion on this. Crazy. And here's the problem that I have in our society, Kurt. I don't believe that this was a racist attempt by Caleb at all. He was 12 years old. He was imitating a movie. It's not as we are led to believe. But here's what I have a problem with. How the video surfaced, I don't know. Why the video was taken at such a young age and put on social media in the first place, that's a whole nother question that you parents need to really think about. But I don't believe it was a racist agenda at all in the first place. I think it was kids not really understanding the repercussions, mimicking a movie. And I don't think that you should ruin Caleb's life and call him a racist at all, but that's what they do. Here's what I have a problem with. The judge, jury, and execution on this thing was so swift, so extreme, so definitive, Kurt, that you, meaning Caleb, will never, ever, ever be able to recover. The damage has been done to where he missed out on American Idol and the finalities there. The thing is, he'll be fighting this because now that the original story goes viral and be so popular, the recants or the updates or the corrections about what his mom said in the reality comes a day late and a dollar short and way too little of a whatever it is in the first place, even if they say, well, it wasn't true or whatever else. But in the end of the day, here's the problem. Caleb's now apologizing. But here's my problem. Not only is judge, jury, and execution so quick in the court of public opinion, dishonestly so, but here's the problem. There is another contestant who is promoting their gay agenda or whatever. And they've had many American Idol contestants that promote that they're gay and why should they hide behind, you know, who they love or not let people know. And so they promote this agenda. Now, I don't support the gay and lesbian lifestyle. I don't support the transgender lifestyle, and I don't support the racist lifestyle. But is it okay for American Idol to promote the gay and lesbian bisexual agenda as a rock star hero? Yes, you should come out, and we should use this show to help you do it and help you promote it as normal and safe and responsible and legitimate. And in fact, it's a role model to follow. But yet the racist is somebody to be shunned and shut down and ridiculed and mocked and literally destroyed at 16 years old. Here's my opinion. If I was caught involved with a racist of some kind, I would never apologize, Kurt. And the reason that I would not apologize is because I have nothing to apologize for. I am not a racist. I maybe have, like everybody else in life, been guilty of jokes here or there about all kinds of things, race being one of them, disabilities and blindness being another one of them. We're all guilty of these mistakes, but it doesn't mean we're racist or that we're systemic or that we mean harm at all. Growing up, I had a black friend that called me the N-word all the time. And I would use the word back to him because I didn't realize what a hurtful and evil word that it was. I wouldn't say it now. But that does not mean that I'm a racist, and that does not mean that I can never change or repent or grow into knowledge about behavior, okay? We need to accept change and repentance and understanding by people, and we need to give people a little bit of credence. But why in our society is the racist guy the evil guy, but the transgender who is lying about his gender, say a Bruce Jenner, for instance, who's literally went through, what do you want to call it? I don't know what you call it, sexual body manipulation surgery?
I'd call it a metamorphosis, okay. Sam.
But a surgical metamorphosis, okay, and lying about gender, that's okay. Okay, now I don't get how we promote the gay and lesbian lifestyle. That's fine. But if you're a racist, that's not fine. And here's my response, Kurt. I'm going to be kind to the racist. I'm going to be kind to the transgender person. I'm going to literally articulate why I disagree with him. I'm going to be kind in doing so. And if they were my neighbors, I would treat them with kindness. If the lesbian came over and wanted a cup of sugar, I'd give her one. If the transgender Bruce Jenner came over and it's a chick but it's really a dude, you know, I would be kind and give him some sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I would help them jumpstart their car. I would do whatever. If I see them somewhere, I would hold the door for any of them. I'd be polite and appropriate. But what if I got seen with a racist or seen with a, why is one fine and the other just not fine? And let me ask you this. Would Jesus be seen with a racist? He was seen with a publican back in the day, a tax man, which was really abhorrent then, just like it is now. But would Jesus be seen with a racist or a transgender person? And my response is, I will accept the good that the racist has. And I will accept that the good that the transgender has. They're both sons and daughters of God. And I'd be kind to them. But I would also use my influence to try to talk the racist person or influence the racist person to be less or not racist. I would encourage the transgender person to go back to their appropriate God-ordained gender. And if I'm seen with these people, understand that I'm there because I'm a kind, respectful person, and I'm willing to influence people for good and accept the good in people. And when they have flaws, I'm willing to be kind and try to influence them for good, as I believe my leader, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, would do. And so I would not apologize for being a kid and making mistakes. And I would not apologize for my involvement with any of these individuals we're talking about. But it's interesting to me how swift and just the judge, jury, and execution of the public forums are and these corporations, and how dishonest they are about it's okay to be gay and lesbian. That's actually promoted as the lifestyle of choice. But if you're a racist, you don't even have the right to exist. Why can the gay person promote their gayness and win American Idol, just for instance, or contend no problem, no harm, no foul, no question? But the person who is a racist, if they indeed really even are, so that's the other issue, can't even exist. They're just gone. No questions asked, gone. I reject both dishonest double standard narratives. And I would say that if I'm seen with anybody, I will not apologize. I will say I'm influencing them for good, like I intend to, and I'm being kind, like I think the rest of us need to learn to become. So there's my defense of Caleb Kennedy, Kurt.
Well, it figures you would defend that guy. I mean, Sam, I mean, you're just, you know, all the way racist. I mean, you can tell by looking at you for sure, huh, Sam?
Would you apologize, though, Kurt?
No,
if you were seen with a racist,
it doesn't,
or if you were
help.
Seen with
I mean, I've never seen anybody that gets anywhere by doing it. They ought to be pointing out the fact that it's just insanity to even say the stuff they're saying. But, you know,
I know it.
In this world these days, you think that you're going to get far ahead by apologizing, you know. I mean, it's pretty crazy,
Sam. Hey, Kurt,
Sam,
would you sell honey to a gay person?
Yeah, I've done that, Sam.
How about a transgender?
Fact, well, I shouldn't have, I know, but, you know, I just didn't understand how, you know, my real self should have come out. But I'll give you one thing to excite you at the end of the hour, Sam. The headline from World Net Daily says, woman thought she was having 7 babies, may have broken world record when she delivered 9. Amanda Thomason, the Western Journal's got the piece, and World Net Daily bringing it forward. Ladies from Mali, she was the mother of 1 last year. Now she's the mother to 10. And they say maybe the new world record holder. You know, I didn't even know they kept records on stuff like that. But anyway, it's a C-section. The Malian government helped pay for her to go to a private clinic in Morocco where she could get better care. They say she was about 25 weeks pregnant and did their best to get her as far along as they could. But the babies are all doing well. 30 weeks, she gave birth by C-section to 4 boys and 5 girls, each one weighing about 1.1 to 2.2 pounds. And anyway, you talk about an instant family, Sam. Oh,
are they all wow. white babies?
No, these are black ones, Sam. So these are, you know, I mean, these are privileged children.
By the way, let me tell you what I will say to this black family.
Yeah.
Congratulations. What a, I mean, it will be overwhelming and intense, that's for sure. But what a blessing from Almighty God that is.
Amen.
See how racist I am? The last question that I would say, though, is this. Kurt, would you sell honey to a racist?
Yes, I would.
Whoa.
I want to sweeten the world one person at a time.
We follow the Prince of Peace, ladies and gentlemen. It is that simple. God save the Republic.